Chicago trial attorney Karen Conti joins us now with legal news. Good morning, Karen. As you know, the question of the day is, did the United States commit a war crime in the Caribbean? And the law on this is pretty clear, isn't it, Karen?
Well, it is. There's two parts to this. One is attacking ships without a declaration of war. Is that a war crime? And that is up for debate, and that is a legitimate question. Because the War Powers Act basically says that to declare war, the president can't do it. The Congress has to do it. And in this case, the Congress has not done it. But the issue of the double strike, and in this case, what happened was there was a strike on a boat. There were a couple survivors hanging onto a ship, apparently, and there was an order to attack again and kill the people who were surviving. So according to international law, that is a no-no, because international law, the Nuremberg laws that came from that whole era, basically says that we don't kill survivors, we don't kill rescuers. Once people are disabled, we take them in and arrest them. So that's going to be a serious question, and it looks like both parties from across the aisles are going to be investigating it.
The issue of whether members of the military have a defense saying they were just following orders, that is going to be really interesting to hear what goes on with that now.
Well, and that is interesting, but the military, it's very, very clear that, yes, it's a core military issue to follow lawful orders, but if it's an unlawful order that violates international laws and our own laws, then following those orders is not a defense.
Yeah, and that is a question that has been in the news lately for sure. Let's talk about Luigi Mangione, and he's in court this week. What are the arguments by the defense?
Yeah, this is the state court case. He's been charged both in the state court and by the federal government. The arguments from the defense is that he was questioned for about 17 minutes and was not read his Miranda rights. And the arguments are that because he wasn't read his rights, anything he said during that time is not admissible. And not only is not anything admissible, but anything that stemmed from his comments. So in addition, there was no warrant, and they searched his backpack and found a gun. They found a little manifesto and some other things, including a silencer. And they're saying that because there was no warrant, those pieces of evidence should also be excluded from any potential trial. So it's very, very important, because all of those pieces of evidence are going to be key in convicting him. And there are some good arguments from the defense that there should have been a warrant and there should have been the Miranda rights read.
The Lane Bryant murders happened back in 2008 in Tinley Park. Five women killed. It remains unsolved. And now there's a documentary being made. And Karen, you've been involved with this case for a while. Tell us what we expect to see in this film.
Yeah, you've been involved in it, too. I went back and looked at some old footage, and boy, you were reporting on that way, way back. Yeah, it's a case that needs to be solved. It should be solved. There was a clear composite sketch, because there was a survivor. We have a really good composite sketch. We have his voice on the 911, all kinds of evidence, and I don't know why this case has not been solved. There's a filmmaker named Charlie Min. He's been involved in a lot of documentaries about school shootings and other unsolved crimes, and he is putting together a real comprehensive documentary and reaching out to the survivor, trying to find her to talk about what really happened that day, talking to law enforcement about why DNA hasn't been used to test some of the evidence, and really trying to provoke the law enforcement to do the right thing and get back on the case and try to solve it.
You think all this might lead to new leads?
I do. You know, in this day and age of podcasters and internet sleuths, somebody knows something here. You know, this guy had very distinctive look. He had a distinctive beads in his hair. He had a distinctive jacket and jeans. Somebody knows who this guy is, and maybe now they're not going to be afraid of turning him in, or at least giving an anonymous call to the police to give them a tip.
Finally, Michael Jordan's been in court in North Carolina. There's a trial brought by his car racing team against NASCAR. What is this suit all about?
It's very complicated, but it's an antitrust case, which means that the argument is that NASCAR is operating under as a monopoly and basically controls all of the sport in across the country by, you know, doing things like making them enter into restrictive contracts and the like. And they own everything and they operate and control everything. And the idea is that this is just not fair to the little guys. And Michael Jordan apparently owns a company and he feels that this is wrong. And this jury is going to decide whether there's a monopoly here.
I guess pretty impressive when you've got somebody like Jordan testifying.
I would want that tool in my drawer for sure.
What lawyer wouldn't? More from Karen on the radio here Sunday 3:30 until 5. Talk to you again next week.
Have a good one.
You too.